It's time for your North Iowa news on KCHA for Monday, May 5th. I'm Mark Pitts reporting. Trial for a Charles City woman accused of violently abusing a child has been delayed by 6 days. Criminal complaints filed by Charles City Police accused 37-year-old Samantha Slaughter of physically assaulting a child on February 13th. CCPD says Slaughter forcefully grabbed the child's face, force-fed them food, shook and jerked their face and head, hit them in the face with her own hands, forced them to the floor by their neck, and slammed the child to the floor. Due to injury suffered, medical staff told CCPD the child's long-term prognosis will likely include varying deficits, some possibly permanent. Slaughter was originally charged with child endangerment causing serious injury and willful injury causing serious injury, Class C felonies punishable by up to 10 years in prison on each count. However, last week, Floyd County District Court Judge Deidre Schroeder approved County Attorney Todd Pritchard's motion that, in light of further investigation, the charge of child endangerment causing serious injury should be upgraded to child endangerment by multiple acts, a Class B felony punishable by up to 25 years in prison. With arraignment on the revised charges set for May 12th, that has resulted in a continuance of Slaughter's trial from May 13th to May 19th. Slaughter entered a not guilty plea to the original charges on April 14th and remains held in the Floyd County Jail on $20,000 cash-only bond on each of the counts for a total bail of $40,000 in her name only. More details are being made available about an attempted kidnapping in Mason City last week by a North Iowa man previously convicted in a Mason City kidnapping, rape, and attempted murder case almost 45 years ago. A criminal complaint filed by Mason City Police says that about 1:15 Wednesday afternoon, 60-year-old Blair Griman of Garner allegedly approached a 20-year-old female from behind while she was loading groceries in her vehicle in the Aldi grocery store parking lot. Griman is accused of pulling out a handgun, shoving it into the victim's stomach, telling her she was being abducted, and demanding she come with him. MCPD says as Griman was escorting the woman to his vehicle, she fought him off and was able to run to a bystander. Griman then allegedly fled the scene, discarding an airsoft handgun and handcuffs in a nearby dumpster. Griman has been charged with second-degree kidnapping while armed with a dangerous weapon, a Class B felony punishable by up to 25 years in prison. Griman made his initial court appearance last Thursday in Sarogordo County District Court, with Magistrate Ronald Wagonar setting bail at $250,000 cash-only bond. Griman's next court appearance is scheduled for this Friday. Griman was 16 when he attacked an 18-year-old female in the Kmart parking lot in Mason City in 1981, with a jury convicting him of first-degree kidnapping, secondary sexual abuse, and attempted murder. He was sentenced to life in prison, but was granted parole in September 2017 after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in 2010 that life sentences without the opportunity for parole for juveniles was unconstitutional. Opponents of the carbon pipeline proposed by Summit Carbon Solutions will hold another informational meeting tonight in Manly. The sessions are designed to educate landowners being approached by Summit for voluntary easements to build the pipeline through their property. During a meeting April 24th at the Floyd Community Center, Floyd County landowner Kathy Carter told some 40 audience members that if you don't want the pipeline on your property, you don't have to fight it alone.
So over the course of the last couple of years, 3.5 years, we have had a huge learning curve, and for the folks here that are impacted with the new lines or just want to know more about what this project is, we're here to help. Benefit from our experience, because boy, we've been through the ringer.
Jess Mazur with Sierra Club Iowa chapter also advised the group to not fight with Summit if they come on your land to survey your property.
Summit really wants to make people look bad. So whatever you do, don't do anything that's going to make you look bad or lose the support of your sheriff. Don't threaten them. Don't yell at them. Don't cuss at them as much as you may want to, because they're going to try to use that against you. And it's even better if you just have your cell phone out the entire time filming it. So then they can't make any complaints about you, and they can't say that you threatened them with a gun or something. You can say, no, watch my video. I never did that.
Mazur also urges landowners to make their objections known to the Iowa Utilities Commission as soon as possible.
If you don't participate in this process, the Iowa Utilities Commission will assume that you don't care. That means they're not going to make any adjustments for you. They're not going to say, this person made a really strong case, you can't build it on their land. They're just going to assume you don't care and approve the pipeline going through your land.
The IUC has approved Summit's permit to build its mainline pipeline in Iowa, but not until it secures permits in South Dakota and North Dakota first. However, South Dakota recently passed a law banning Summit from utilizing eminent domain to seize remaining land for the project, and that state's Public Utilities Commission also rejected the company's latest permit request as not viable. Mazur said those setbacks appear to put Summit 2 days away from canceling the entire project. Tonight's carbon pipeline meeting in Manly begins at 6:30 in the Manly Town Hall. The New Hampton School Board met last week with the New Hampton Education Association to begin negotiations on teacher contracts for the 2025-2026 school year. This evening, the school board has its initial negotiating session for the 25-26 contract with support staff. In addition to those proceedings, outgoing Superintendent Jay Juren says he's working to check some other projects off his list as the district prepares for the transition to new Superintendent Eric Smith.
Things like a new phone system, a new sign downtown, just seems like little things, but you know, it's checking off one thing he doesn't have to worry about. I want to make sure all the big projects are done so he can kind of come in and just focus on getting to know everybody and getting the district, you know, basically having it ready for him so that he doesn't have any big decisions to make. He can just come in and settle in and learn about the district and start making his own plans for what he sees the future to be.
Juren says Smith has visited the school district several times while also performing his current dual role in the AGWSR school district.
He's currently a shared superintendent and high school principal. And high school principal, quite frankly, is one of the toughest jobs in the district, so I couldn't imagine being shared in that situation. It'd be a lot tougher than being shared with two districts, I'm sure.
Juren's will retire at the end of the school year on June 30th. Smith officially takes over as shared superintendent for New Hampton and Turkey Valley starting July 1st. If you think you'll step up your libations today on Monday, May 5th, know that law enforcement agencies across Iowa will also be stepping up their presence.
So it's just going to be one day, Cinco de Mayo, and we'll be out in force. Not, you know, that we're not normally not out, you know, issuing tickets and trying to keep people safe, but that's the one day that's through STEP and through the federal program that we're doing that.
That's Charles City Police Chief Hugh Anderson, who acknowledges that a one-day special traffic enforcement program is unusual.
So we don't pick these days. I think it's very odd and very odd that we're having one day. But for St. Patrick's Day, they do days on both sides back and forth. And then for Cinco de Mayo, it's literally one day, just Cinco de Mayo.
According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, historically, about one-third of all crashes on May 5th involve a drunk driver. In 2019, 47 people died in drunk driving crashes during Cinco de Mayo, accounting for 38% of all traffic deaths. More North Iowa news on the way on KCHA.